You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson and this is episode 54. My guest today is Angela. Now, I've just finished recording The Dream and Interpretation with Angela, so I know what it's all about and you're going to love this one. Angela has a beautiful voice. Listen as she tells a story. Her dream is like a story, almost like a lullaby. And just listen to the rhythm of her voice as the dream unfolds, because it does take you into a kind of lullaby theme. So it's a beautiful story. The interpretation is really interesting. She's got some numbers in her dream, which she'd already done some work on before coming to the show today. And everything ties in beautifully. The end of the dream, everything makes sense according to what's happening in her waking life at the moment. And of course, we produce an alchemy exercise, a dream alchemy, to move Angela further along the path in which she wishes to travel. So it's a beautiful illustration of a lovely rhythmic storytelling dream, an interpretation that between the two of us, we relate to her waking life, and an alchemy to move her further in her journey. And lots of lovely universal insight for everybody listening in. So fasten your seatbelt and enjoy this one. Welcome to the show, Angela. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, Jane Theresa.
And you have as usual, I don't know anything about your dream, but I think you said to me that you'd picked a dream that was part of a kind of recurring theme in your life. Was that right?
Yeah, I've been trying to pay attention to themes to figure out what my dreams are telling me. And I think it has to do with nurturing. I mean, I've been having dreams about my mother, and I mean, she's been in the hospital lately, so I think that there's a shift happening in my life.
Mm. Okay, no, that sounds like a good one to pick then. So, hit me with the dream.
Okay. I'm standing in a small, dimly lit room in a rustic little shack of a house. Evening light seems to be the only light coming into the room from a window behind me. Across from me and just to the left, my mother is in a bed that mechanically raises like a hospital bed, but it's lifting her to a standing position facing me. She is beaming at me. She looks healthy and vibrant again, like she did before the cancer. Just as she is raised up, I notice I am being lowered down on the same kind of bed into a horizontal position. I realize suddenly that I am pregnant and about to deliver. A male doctor is standing to the right of me. Then I feel him gently and steadily pulling on the baby just beginning to crown. I feel no pain. In fact, I think this isn't even as uncomfortable as getting a pap smear. I picture the metal duckbill utensil and imagine how it feels in comparison. I'm so relieved. Then I wonder if his method is right. Next, I can actually see what the doctor sees as he's pulling the crown of the baby's head and its dark hair. Then the birthing is over. The doctor and baby are gone, maybe to another room. I feel no emotion, except for a sudden fearful realization, again, that I now have a baby to take care of and how my life will be so different. Feeling nervous and unprepared, I realize that I haven't even named the child. Quickly, I start thinking of names. The first name that comes to me is Sabrina. I am not terribly fond of it, but I consider it for its intuitive measure. Besides that, I don't want to be judged for not being prepared with a name. Next, I am sitting outside on the ground. A river flows nearby. I have pulled my knees up into my chest, cradling my body up close to me. Frantic thoughts pulse through my mind, full of questions. I question my withdrawn behavior and the effect it has on the baby. Shouldn't I be cuddling the baby right now? What about those critical moments directly after birth, when mother and baby bond? What about the whole time I was pregnant? I recall what I recently read in Waking Life about a possible connection between children with autism who also experience a traumatic birth. I am also worrying about how my emotions and hormones may have affected the well-being of the baby. I feel regret for how this child has been brought into the world. I begin rocking my body, slowly swaying from side to side. Inside of me, I see a wave of clear blue ocean swelling and cresting on the left, then flowing back to the right. Even though the baby is not physically with me, I hope that it is soothed, sensing my concern and care for it as I rock. Next, I have an abrupt thought that I need to go to the river. I look up towards the river and upstream, the women and children of my extended family have gathered. They are discussing an idea to cross the river and enjoy our meal as a family over there. I think this is a great idea. I wonder how we will get across, and then I see floating logs we can walk over. But then I think about my grandma and realize there is no way for her to make it across safely. I am worried that her needs have not been considered and that she may be abandoned. My boyfriend's alarm goes off in waking life, and I feel the unusual need to get out of bed immediately so I can go clean up. I'm actually dreaming that my inner thighs are still messy from giving birth and that it's urgent for me to get up and shower. I wake up enough to realize I'm dreaming and that I can go back to sleep and continue the dream. Then I hear numbers symbolizing the baby's measurements, 4'11" and 19.5 inches. I am confused about which is her weight or length. Then I wake up enough to start thinking about what the numbers could be telling me about my life.
That's what fantastic recall. You tell a dream story so well. You've got a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
It's almost a lullaby voice in itself. Well, there's so many points of entry into this, and obviously you've already thought about the numbers, and we will come to that a little bit later. But if I stand back from the whole dream, because it's so big, and paint a picture and come in from there, I think that might be the best, you know, the best way. And I love the fact that, having said that, I'm going to go into the middle of the dream, which I often do. I love the feeling when you're sitting on the shore there with your legs, you know, your knees are hugged in close to you, and you describe it as a feeling of, first of all, describe it as a feeling of withdrawal, you know, like I feel I'm withdrawn from the baby. And yet that turns actually into rocking the baby and a feeling of great connection and love. And yet when you first of all described, oh, there I am, on the riverbank with my knees up to my chest, I was picturing the fetal position almost as if you had then moved into the pre-birth position yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and then particularly later on when you're looking out at the sea, I think it was, and you had all the blue water, you know, the waves going to one side and then to the other and to the one side and the other. It was almost then as if you were the baby in fetal position in the uterus, in the amniotic fluid, you know, almost being born yourself. And then when we then moved to the river, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe this is like the birth canal. You know, and then it's getting across that to the family. It's the family connection, the connection to grandmother. So I'm kind of at the end of the dream. And of course, there are many levels of interpretation to a dream, as you know. But at the end of the dream, I'm thinking, well, we've got a huge metaphor here for you actually birthing something in the dream as well as everything else that's going on, you know?
Okay.
And because, of course, everybody in a dream is an aspect of yourself, when you're sitting at that part of the dream rocking and lullabying, you are actually soothing a part of yourself, which we'll come back to. What I'm really saying here is major, major rebirthing stuff that's going on in the dream, which is not surprising at a time in life when your mother is actually sick and is actually dying of cancer, is she?
I don't know, but there's always that fear that, you know, her body will give out, but she's just turning 60 on Mother's Day, so she's still pretty young.
Okay. And does she have cancer?
She found a brain tumor a couple years ago, so.
Right. Okay. So that's what she's in remission at the moment, is she?
No, she still has it, and she's been getting her chemotherapy for it, and been doing mostly all right. But the last few weeks. Actually, she went into the hospital on Easter because she had a fever. So that was a new thing to deal with. And it's just hard to know how her body's going to handle different kinds of attacks like that. So.
Okay, now that's, thank you for that. It was just a bit of background because she had cancer in the dream, so that helps us. If you look at the overall, you know, there are a couple of overall themes in the dream, and one is death and birth, because in the dream there's a feeling that she, or sickness and wellness in the her character in the dream, which is not her character in life. You know, in the dream she's an aspect of yourself. Right. In the dream she is sick and ill, and yet she kind of resurrects and becomes well. So there's, and then at that time you realize that you're pregnant and in labor. So there's that kind of death of the old, birth of the new, or resurrection of the old and birth of the new theme happening. And then, of course, the other major thing that's happening that you painted the picture so well was the question of emotion, lots of emotion or no emotion. You know, the no emotion being feeling withdrawn from the baby after she was born, or I should really be feeling more about this, or did I give her the right kind of birth, you know, and the reference to autism. Which, of course, is inability to completely feel emotions, isn't it? So there's that other issue there. And if a lot of thinking these days about cancer is that if there's a mind body aspect of cancer, that it's to do with the person not being very fluid at dealing with their emotions, and therefore those emotions building up and building up and growing and growing and growing inside the body and becoming a cancer. So there's a feeling there, whether or not that's the background, how your mum developed cancer, there's a feeling there of cancer, which has been, you know, in your family and playing on your mind. And as you say, to do with your mother, which is nurturing and emotions. You know, it may be that your mother and your grandmother, because you referenced her in the dream too, had some area of their life where they didn't fully address their emotions, where they have held back and not really expressed their true emotions. And that has contributed to you picking them in your dream to represent, the question of how much do I show my emotions? How much do I hold them back?
Yeah.
So that's some kind of background before we go in further. But how are we doing so far?
That sounds really close.
Okay, so we'll go in at the top, and then I want to go to those numbers. So at the very beginning, how long ago was this particular dream, Angela? I know it's an ongoing theme, but when was this one?
A week ago.
Okay. So at the start of the dream, you're in a room and it's not very light. And the remaining evening light is coming from a window behind you, and you're waiting for something to happen. And there's also the sense in the dream that the person who is your mother in the dream, maybe dying in the dream or is not well. So there's that feeling of the light is going out. This is the end of something, the evening of something. It's not reflective of your mother actually, you know, becoming more ill or dying or not managing her chemo. That's a separate issue. Okay. The dream is always about yourself. So this is about me, Angela, a week ago, thinking and feeling something's coming to an end in my life now. So what do I do next? And because the window's behind you, quite often what's behind you in a dream is what is either in your past, or it's like, I've put that behind me. You know, that's something I don't look at, or it's in my past. So both of those kind of fit that part of the dream. It's like something is ending. I've kind of put it behind me, that I'm getting a little bit of light from the past. I'm getting a bit of insight from my past, but I'm kind of really ready now to gather up my thoughts and move into a new day, which is what you do in the dream of the birth. And what you get, the insight at that part of the dream, as you say, your mother is not only raised up, but lifted up and becomes quite healthy and smiling and forget the actual, there was a particular word you used at that part of the dream. What word was the word to describe how she seemed then?
Oh, she was beaming at me.
Beaming, that's right, yeah. And so she was full of love in that beaming, would you say, or happiness?
Yeah, she just looked really healthy and just vibrant.
And vibrant, okay. So what you were seeing there was your own readiness to move into a new way of being vibrant and healthy and lifted up to some extent. So you may have come through a period where you have felt the opposite, where you have felt the opposite to being lifted up is to feel down, maybe depressed, maybe dragged down. The opposite to feeling vibrant is to feel, well, what is it? What's the opposite to vibrant? Do you think?
Dull.
Dull. Okay. So that's not to say that you were dull, but you know, you may have felt, oh, I'm getting weighed down. I'm getting a bit dull, you know, like my emotions are getting dulled here or whatever. I don't know. But in this dream, for it to be in the dream, it's a turnaround for you. It's like, yeah, now I'm beginning to feel lifted up as I look forward to a new way of being, as I gather, you know, something that is coming to an evening, to a closure, particularly around perhaps emotions that haven't been expressed, because that's the symbolic cancer element in the dream. I'm now feeling that I'm getting lifted up. Now, she was mechanically lifted up in the dream, so I don't know if that means that, you know, medication to lift you up or anything like that. I don't know. But there was a feeling that, yeah, you are now feeling lifted up and vibrant, and she's facing you in the dream. And because she's your mother in the dream too, you know, you're quite correct. You feel these dreams are to do with self-nurturing. This is like, yeah, I'm ready to come face to face with a vibrant, uplifted nurturing of myself now. And that's the point at which you then are ready to give birth. And it's great. You've got the doctor on your right. What's on the right in the dream is often your outer world. So that tells me that you have kind of done a shift from maybe looking within at the time of the dream to actually looking outside and saying, what is there outside here that can actually assist me with the next birthing that I'm doing, with my next project or way of being? And that's all there for you. And it's crowning, and that's fantastic. And all of that is great. So the next kind of like dip in the dream is, oh, they've taken the baby away. And is it just to wash it, or shouldn't I be bonding with a baby, and I don't feel like I'm bonding with a baby, and oh dear, have I done it all wrong, wasn't it? That was the next phase. So this is you then questioning something that the dream always reflects the day or two before. So your dream was a week ago, so a day or two before that, you were trying to, or you were actually birthing something, and yet questioning whether you were fully in the emotional flow with it. And questioning, well, am I doing this right? Am I really giving it my all? That was your question in the dream. Yeah. Does this relate so far?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I tried to think about like what happened a couple days before the dream, and I don't know. I feel like I wish that my mind was a little more open to other possibilities, but I would just remember. I was camping with friends and my boyfriend, and when we woke up, everybody else was awake already, and we're looking at each other like, isn't it too early to wake up? What's going on? And I looked over at him and I said, they all have dogs, so they don't have children yet, you know, that would wake them up, but they have some sort of responsibility that would make them have to wake up or something. So I thought it might have something to do with that, but.
Right. So just to clarify, you don't have children, do you?
No.
No. So yeah, no, you'll be spot on if that came up. So it's, you know, birthing, of course, birthing a human being as opposed to having a dog is a huge responsibility. And I guess some people take that responsibility kind of rationally, but you know, as you've pointed out, you know, to really, give a child the very best, you would hope to bring a child up not only rationally, correctly, but also within the correct free-flowing emotional environment, you know. And it may be that either through your mother or your grandmother, there's some element in your own upbringing where you felt that you didn't fully have you weren't fully bathed in the total emotional flow that you would have liked to have been, you know, bathed in. So, yeah, so a question of responsibility for looking after stuff, or for stuff happening in your life, kind of crossed your mind and came up in conversation, and then maybe segged its way into the dream of, at the time of the dream, you are ready to birth a new way of being, or some new way, new vibrant, uplifted self. But there's also a question of responsibility in there somewhere, which we're trying to work out what that is. And it may be along the lines of something in your life where you're feeling, yeah, I can be responsible rationally for this, but am I really ready? Do I have the emotional follow through for this? You know, can I nurture and support myself and therefore make whatever change is happening in my life, make it flow because I'm giving myself emotional support? Or is it going to be hard work because I'm just kind of doing it by the rote, you know, doing it by the rule book, that yeah. kind of feeling?
Well, I've been thinking about getting a dog, and I don't know if that's like life-changing to make that decision. Maybe it is, but I've been afraid that it's a responsibility that I don't want to deal with. But maybe I do. You know,
that could be part of it. Why would you get a dog? What's the main reason why you would like to have a dog?
I grew up with a dog, and so I have lots of fond memories. And everybody seems so happy when they have dogs, and I thought it would be a mood lifter. You know, something to look forward to.
And that's a very, very good reason to have a dog. Did in your childhood did the dog kind of make up for some mood lifting and upliftment or happiness that you didn't feel as a child?
Yeah, definitely. I guess I had the dog when I was in high school, and I had just moved to a new school. So, and that was a big change in my life, but I had my dog, and every day after school, no matter how much the whole day I wanted to go home and cry after school, mm-hmm. my dog was like running towards me, you know, ready to go, you know, ready to go down to the creek. That's what we did every day.
Oh, fantastic. So you got the water aspect like you did in the dream. was your mother there at home, or was she working?
She worked.
So did you, is that where you felt as a child, is that where you felt there was something missing, that your mother wasn't there for you when you were feeling so distressed at school?
She seemed pretty preoccupied. You know, she's just kind of, I don't know, she just likes to keep busy, and so I can understand that, but yeah, I guess I felt kind of lonely as a child.
Mm. So that's where, you know, seen through the eyes of a child, no matter how much you may understand about your mother now, seen through the eyes of a child, there was a feeling of some kind of emotional support missing there. And you found your happiness in the dog, and the dog was upliftment for you. And, you know, you're thinking now, well, what can I bring into my life? Is it a dog or whatever it is that's a kind of mechanical outside source of upliftment for me? So that, you know, that's all kind of the question there. And I think because of what's going on with your mum in waking life and the symbolism in the dream, you're basically going back and looking at where you have felt, blocks in happiness in your own life, blocks of where you haven't felt emotionally nurtured in your own life, and coming to terms with those now, because cancer in itself can be a mind-body disease of not expressing emotions. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of looking back through your family history of how did the women in our family show their emotions, in what ways did they hide their emotions, and what way, as children of our mothers, have we maybe wished that they had shown more of their emotions. I think that's the kind of basic feeling in the dream. And that's why there's so much water flowing in the dream. That's why there's the feeling of in the dream when you're in fetal / withdrawal position, it's almost like, if I have a dog or a child, or if I birth anything new in my life, am I going to be able to naturally give it my full emotional flow, given that that's not kind of my programming?
Yeah.
So, you know, the end of the dream is so positive, and I want to come back to that later, but I would really love now to touch on those numbers. So when you said, Angela, that at that particular time when you changed schools and you really couldn't wait to get home quickly enough to see your dog to lift you up, was that when you were 11?
Actually, I was 13, and I wrote down some possibilities for the numbers in my dream, and 19 and a half years ago would be when I was 13 and a half, which was the very fall that I started the new school.
Excellent. Yeah, so that's we'll come to the other figures in just a minute. So that's spot on and good detective work. Well done. So one of the baby's measurements, 19.5, related to 19.5 years ago when you were 13.5, which was actually pinpointing this time. So at that time when you were 13.5, you kind of had a birth. It was going to a new school. This is new Angela at new school, but that birth felt like a withdrawal for you in a sense. You were unhappy. Maybe you didn't show your sadness at school. Maybe you didn't tell your mum how sad you were. I'm not sure, but there was kind of like your dreams gone for mega symbolism and gone, oh, autism. It's like, let's withdraw our feelings. And you poured out your heart to the dog and got the dog, and the dog gave you unconditional love and wags of tail and licks back. And that's where you got your balance. So if you then, how did you go with the other figures, 4 and 11?
Well, I just thought maybe they were big changes in my life. Like, let's see, if you do 11 years ago, I was graduating college, and I don't know, I had just called off an engagement. And So big things. And when I was 11, the only big thing I could think of was maybe my first period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's big change in my life or not.
Both of those would make sense, and we'll come to those. Just before we go to the 4, you know, with the 19.5, we went back 19.5 years to 13.5 and hit gold. Was there something that happened when you were age 19.5 too?
It was the fall of my sophomore year in college, and I started dating the guy that I later broke the engagement with.
Okay.
So that's all I could come up with.
No, that's huge. We'll come back to that. And the 4 years ago, and when you were 4?
4 years ago, I was moving out of a different boyfriend's house. So, and I just felt like really late that year. I ended up living in 3 different places that year.
And when you were 4?
I don't know. 1981. I don't really remember. I guess
too far back.
I guess we had a basset hound then, I think. And that was the kind of dog that I had in high school. And so
okay. So that may have been a connection there. But you see, all of those figures, whichever way you went, well, apart from 4, whichever way you went, 19.5 years ago, age 11, 11 years ago, and 4 years ago, that's 5 figures, all brought you to a time of change.
Yeah.
And the particular emphasis on each of those changes was more the evening rather than the birth. You know, I was leaving a boyfriend's house. I was breaking off my engagement.
Yeah.
They were on the evening prior to the morning, the birth, most of them. So if we were to take a broad sweep and say, ultra simplify this and say, look, it looks like your dream is picking out, the issue of, needing more emotional support. And emotional nurturing, whether you're giving it to yourself or someone else's, but lacking a sense of happiness because you're feeling unnurtured. Would that apply to the reasons why you broke off the engagement and why you left the other boyfriend, for example?
Definitely the boyfriend's house. And the reason I broke off the engagement was because I realized I wasn't ready to be married, I really liked him, but I really wanted to do bigger things in my life, and I planned a trip to Austria.
Did you go?
Yeah.
Excellent. So that one wasn't a lack of emotional support, but it was more that I need to do something emotionally fulfilling for myself, you know, go to Austria or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it's interesting, quite there, actually, I'm getting it there. You mentioned, I wasn't ready to get married. I had other things to do. And during the dream, you said, I think you used the word prepared. I'm not sure if I'm prepared to look after this baby. So that was touching on that too. So it's almost like that is another issue coming into the dream. It's what, as you're going through changes currently in allowing yourself to be uplifted and happier and more vibrant and perhaps moving forward to showing your emotions more and asking for and receiving more emotional support, whether that's from yourself or from other people. It's also touching on this feeling of, am I really ready for this? Am I prepared? So, you know, and that can be the question we ask ourselves at any moment of change, even if it's something we really, really, really want. It's like the reason why we really, really, really haven't got it yet is because unconsciously we really, 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 really don't want it. So we then say to ourselves, well, am I really ready? Am I really prepared for this? This is going to be a big change in my life. You know, and that's what you're looking at. As your dream goes on, there's a feeling of you watching as those waves go from left to right to left to right and the lullaby, there's a feeling of getting into the emotional flow, you know, because water is the flow. So there's down times, there's up times and getting into the flow. And it's just like rocking a baby and back and forward and back and forward as you were doing in the dream. And which is also what an autistic person does, isn't it? They rock, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've just realized that. And that's probably got a whole nother significance, but it maybe that's to do with some attempt to try to get into the emotional flow. I don't know. But, you know, we're coming back to that feeling of emotions or not feeling of emotions. But the end of the dream is so beautiful because, you know, you want to be on the other side of the river. You can see all the potential for that. And the reason you want to be on the other side of the river is getting the family together, which in a dream sense means the family, all the bits of Angela together. You know, it's an integration.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to be more fully integrated now. And your only concern is, can the grandmother make it across the logs? There has to be a better way, a more stable way for her to get across the water. So maybe that's the, you know, if you imagine stepping on logs on a river, that's quite emotional. It's not completely stable, but, you know, so it's maybe that question of, can I, and I think this is it, can I go ahead in my life in a new way, knowing that we don't have to have the ground under our feet totally concrete, knowing that somehow the only way to make progress is to go with the emotions. To sometimes those emotions feel a little bit shaky underfoot. Sometimes they go down, sometimes they go up. But if we learn the art of walking on the logs or finding another way across the river, if we learn the art of walking an emotional path, we actually arrive at a place of integration and rebirth. Whereas if we hold back and wait for a really firm, concrete, you know, land to walk on, the only way to really do that is to withdraw our emotions and go, no, look, I'm only ready to do this if everything's firm and dried and nothing, no emotions to rock my boat. Da 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 da. Does this make sense?
Yeah. And what's funny is that I've noticed in the last several days that I keep hearing the word log. Log or logs or logged. And I was like,
and in what context?
About logs a lot.
Okay, you've got 1 minute to talk to me off the top of your head without any deep thought about logs. Off you go.
Well, just thinking about it, logged, log. I have a lot logged. In my mind, or I feel like emotionally, or waterlogged is something else that I thought of, and just full, and I just want to take off across the logs, and I think it'd be great fun.
Okay, that's great. And it's come up in your life as reference, give me two or three examples in your life in the last 2 days where you've seen, heard the word log.
I'm not sure I can remember exactly. I was at a cookout and, I met somebody who, works on the computer a lot, like has a website or, listens to podcasts. And so I know she said it. And I just can't remember what the context was. It just felt like when she did, I was like, there's that word again. And I thought, I wondered if it had anything to do with emotions, because, I don't know, we were talking about dreams, and I thought that we had a connection, and I wondered if maybe she and I maybe struggle with the same thing, or I don't know.
That's great. Yeah, all of those contemplations. And after we've finished recording this show today, I'd like you, if you've got time, to just get a bit of paper and just let your mind and your thoughts and your emotions flow out around the subject of logs. And then also just write down things that occur to you, even though they don't make rational sense, things like that. You know, what was this connection with this girl, and what did I feel about this, and what could we possibly go on to do together, or what can I learn from her, what insights can I get from her? But you're right, you know, what you got there was the synchronicity of log appearing in various forms in your waking life following a dream. And usually when we experience synchronicities in life, we don't actually remember the original dream, but I'd pretty much say that 99% of our synchronicities, if we could remember all of our dreams, are a play on a symbol from a dream that we've just had, and that they are in many sense a call to go back and say, that is the key symbol in this dream. You know, in maybe not having yet fully explored and understood my dream, I'm actually manifesting it out there in my waking life. And there it is, log, and there it is, log, and there it is, log. This is a really key symbol for you at the moment. So I think the fact that you responded positively to that feeling of walking on logs is okay, it's way forward, is then to look at the ways in which logs have come up in your life in the last couple of days and consider those as ways of moving forward, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just suddenly getting that feeling that logs are, obviously, to state the obvious, come from trees that are chopped up. And trees are like family tree. You know, we have the family tree. And you mentioned your grandmother in the dream. It's almost like this is like getting, and in the dream, you're going across the water to meet with the family. So it's almost something about little bits of emotional bits of family tree that I can kind of walk on water with and get to the other side and work out. But the bottom line of your dream is, you know, you've mentioned there's a few things you're maybe ready to birth into your life now. One is you responded positively when I said more happiness, more vibrance. One is maybe get a dog, because it has that feeling of bringing more happiness into your life as well. And I guess you also responded positively to the feeling of I can move forward and look for take a more emotional path, knowing that this way, that way, lullaby, rocking to and fro, back and forward, waves come and go, emotions come and go, it is a way that I can take to move me forward. So kind of putting all that together at the moment, in the dream, your baby was crowning, which was the top of its head. Its head was being born. Something was being born. What is right in your mind right now about where you think you might be birthing or going in your life now? What picture is presenting to you that feels like a good idea?
Well, I guess the fact that I've been learning so much about dreams, I mean, I've learned other things about it or listened to other podcasts, but it was really the your approach, the wordplay, and I love analogies and the synchronicities, and I just feel like I thrive on that, and so I'm fine spending hours of my free time learning more about it, and I feel kind of like maybe I've developed a hobby, which is something that I think I've lacked, and so I kind of excited about seeing where this takes me, but also I'm nervous about it because of the way other people see dream interpret as being kind of flaky.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I've been there, and sometimes I still am. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's beautiful. You've painted a beautiful picture there. And, you know, working with dreams, your own or other people's, is very much like the walking on logs on the water, you know, because obviously interpreting your dreams, yours or other people's, is about dealing with emotions. And it's only by treading those emotions, whether they're yours or the person's dream that you're working with, is the way forward. You cannot walk into dream interpretation of any kind without walking the up and down path of emotions. And to some extent, you can't put yourself in a position to empathize with and help someone else through a dream if you haven't in your life experienced various emotions and blocks and, you know, and things to come to terms with, which it sounds like you have. So, you've just said it all there.
Yeah.
So if we were to choose an alchemy practice that was to take you in some way, to make you feel comfortable, increasingly comfortable about walking those logs across the water, and also to give you that feeling of upliftment, as you say, the hobby, the feeling of, being, you know, feeling involved and vibrant and contributing and living, and using this to nurture yourself and possibly other people, and to provide that sense of upliftment and happiness and new beginning. Does all that sound good to you?
Yeah.
It sounds good to me.
Yeah.
So you've been following the podcast and dream interpretation for a while. What would you like to do for a dream alchemy? A visualization, an affirmation, a story? What feels good?
Oh, I like the visualizations, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm picturing quite simply walking the logs across the river,
Yeah. Making
it really, really easy, like, you know, fun.
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to make this next step. But, oh, that was a bit of a wobble here. That was fun. Nothing flaky about that. Watch you walk on water. Yeah. To visualize yourself, and you have to, you know, you have to let people that feel that way just flow under your feet, you know, because it's not where you're at. So Angela, to visualize yourself back in the dream, only walking these logs across the water, and notice you're maybe holding your grandmother's hand, because rather than finding another way for her to walk across water, maybe there is just the way of walking the logs. And maybe have your mother on the other hand. So the three women in the family that, you know, which is a female element of yourself, and any past limiting beliefs that you've got in the female line that you've inherited in the way you were brought up. The three of you now overcoming that by walking the logs steadily, beautifully across the water. And the big emotion to summon up as you're walking the logs in the visualization is happiness, the same kind of happiness you get from a dog, and that upliftment and vibrancy. So in that visualization, there's just one thing we left to do, and that's we want you to step onto, you know, having gone across the river, we would quite like you to step onto the land for that family reunion. We could pick something for that would be symbolic of where you would like to be. Have you got something in your mind that you'd like to pick there?
I always am wanting to travel somewhere and go do something big. So usually it is on another continent.
Okay, that sounds good.
I don't have anything
specific.
A symbol
for that? What mode of transport would feel fun to travel in? What about a pair of wings?
Oh, wings.
Eh? Yeah.
Yeah.
What about wings? Because, no, you were going to say something else. I was just thinking, Well, wings are the ultimate upliftment, aren't they?
Yeah, no, I've been thinking too about how I like the thrill of doing something like running across the logs, or that's why I was so excited. Some of my family members came up with the idea to eat on the other side of the river because it, you know, it seems dangerous to try to cross it. But I like to do, I've gone skydiving before, so I like to do big, exciting things like that. So that's kind of like flying.
Flying, okay, that's lovely. Flying with control. Okay, so do the visualization, crossing the logs, everything we just said with the two female members. And on the other side, so you've got the happiness, the upliftment, the vibrancy, they're the emotions you've got in there. And as you reach the other side, everything you just said there, excitement, the feeling that you get at the thought of travel. And there are some wings, make them whatever kind of wings you want. Or maybe you just look at your back when you get on the other side of the river, because instead of at the very beginning of the dream, you had that window behind you with a bit of light of the evening, you now have behind you beautiful wings of the future where you're going to. And you feel them, as you feel them on your back, you feel like wind beneath my wings. You feel, yeah, this is upliftment. Yes, this is happiness. Yes, this is travel, whether that's geographic travel or inner travel, you know, in my mind, exploring and adventuring concepts in your mind. Does that all work for you?
Oh, yeah, I like that a lot.
Okay. So you know the formula, do the visualization 30 times a day for a couple of weeks and then just twice a day. Now, quite often people, particularly as podcast guests, say, oh, it actually gets quite difficult to do the visualization. And that's because, say, when I do a one-on-one on the phone, I usually run you through it a few times and then you say, oh, yeah, I've got it now. I can easily do that 30 times a day. And we don't quite have the time for that in a podcast. So, Angela, work at it. You know, when you finish this podcast, sit down and write your thing about logs that I told you and then do 5 quick reruns of your visualization so you know you can handle it.
Okay.
Okay. And, and let us know how you go.
I will definitely.
Thank you so much for sharing that fantastic dream. Yeah. You've painted a beautiful picture, and I'm sure that picture is actually going to inspire and uplift a lot of our listeners as well.
Great. Thank you so much
A pleasure. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. And I'm sure that one's got you thinking, you know, there are many times in life where it's time to think about what is the evening? You know, what is coming to an end in our lives? What is drawing to a close? What might we be hanging on to? What are we ready to let go? Because it's only sometimes in reaching the evening of the day that we're ready to, of course, greet, you know, the birth the next morning. So there were some lovely analogies and ideas and thoughts there on how to look at your own life and how to think about what you might be birthing and why and how to get there. And I think Angela's dream there reflected beautifully one of the best ways forward in life, which is, you know, it'll never really be concrete under your feet. You can never really be 100% rock solid about going forward. Life is a journey, and that journey, we can go further in that journey and reap more rewards and contribute more in life when we walk the logs over the water and take that little bit of risk and really get in touch with the feelings, really connect with everything. So enjoy. If you're loving these podcasts, please remember that you can download them through iTunes, so they come to you regularly every week without having to visit any of the websites. And most important of all, please keep spreading the message so that more and more people can not only get an insight into their own dreams, but listen every week and get some little take-home messages to apply to their own lives and create alchemy at all kinds of levels. And of course, you know, beyond audio, if you still like reading words and looking at pictures and staying in touch, remember the websites www.dream.net.au for information, lots of free resources, and of course my professional services and fee-based consultancies and coaching and all of that kind of stuff. And my blog, www.janetheresa.com. And my Facebook page, please come in, interact there too. One way or another, and at least till next Friday, have a lovely week. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsite. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsite Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.